The one who has come. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. If you have your Bibles, or if you look up here, let's turn to the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things that were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Thanks be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious and his eternal word. I'd like to talk to you this morning about the Christmas parade. I really missed it there, didn't I? I'd like to talk to you about the Easter parade. And you say, well, we don't have an Easter parade. Well, they do. All over the world, there are Easter parades. In Mexico, a lot of the churches have Easter parades, and they're gory because the people feel so burdened with their sins and what they've done that when they have the parade through the streets, they actually have a whip with tails on it, and they whip them and beat their backs because of their sins as they go through town. Well, I sure don't want in that Easter parade. I don't want anything to do with that one. I took care of my sins at Calvary, and they're gone with the blood of Christ, and I don't have to worry about them. But sadly, they do. The most famous Christmas parade, Easter parade. We don't have Easter parades here, so I'm stuck on Christmas. The most famous Easter parade on earth is the one in New York City. It goes down Fifth Avenue, and it is a fashion show. And everybody tries to do it. One time, 1 million people would come to New York to walk down Fifth Avenue in the Easter parade. And it became part of a movie. And Irving Berlin wrote a song about it that became famous. In your Easter bonnet with all the frills upon it, you'll be the proudest fella in the Easter parade. And people would dress at St. Patrick's Cathedral and all of the tall, spired churches in Manhattan. All the people would dress in the very finest they could have. All of them put on new clothes, not old clothes, but brand new fashions. And everybody marched down the street and showed off their fashions and shook hands and laughed. It really had nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, had nothing to do with his death, burial, or resurrection, had everything to do with being worldly and having things to do in this world. I have no idea what the Cadbury egg has to do with Easter. I have no idea what a bunny has to do with Easter. I have no idea what baby chicks or ducks have to do with Easter. But they're synonymous with it. They've become part of it. And so there is a parade that goes by, and everybody wants to look at the parade. And everybody stands along the street and watches the parade goes by and look at it. If you listen to the scripture that I just read to you, you find out that Christ was not crucified in a vacuum. He did not die somewhere in a corner that no one knew about it. The whole city of Jerusalem and most of the population of Jews in the Eastern world, because they were there for Passover, saw the Savior being crucified, saw him going through the streets, carrying his cross, saw all the things that were going on. And in reality, there was two parades. They had one parade when Jesus went into the city and had another parade when Jesus went out of the city. And when he went into the city, you remember it. The Old Testament prophet had said Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. And you remember that. It was on Monday that they went into the city of Jerusalem, Jesus riding on a donkey with garments thrown over its back, people threw their clothes and palm branches in the streets and shouted and danced and hollered, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The fickle crowd was so happy to see him, they were sure that within this week, within this holiday, he was going to tear down the hated Roman eagle that was over the Antonia fortress at the other end of the Temple Mount. They were sure that by the end of this week, Rome would be in ashes and Jerusalem would be the capital of the world. And they rejoiced because Christ was coming. The Messiah had entered their city, and they had a parade through the streets that went all the way from outside the city to the Temple Mount where Jesus cleansed the temple. But now we're at the other end of the week. The first end of the week was a parade in. This time there's a parade out, and this becomes the Easter parade. This becomes the real Easter parade. It wasn't pretty. When this parade happened, women stood along the side of the road and openly wept and held their babies and cried as the parade went by. The parade started much as any parade starts. It started with music. It started with speeches. And you say, well, what kind was that? Well, there was a group of people gathered in a large house in an upper room. They were called the apostles and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, with his family and his acquaintances and his people, I don't know how many people were there. Yes, there were 12 apostles, but there were women there, and there were men there, and there were people there that weren't apostles. And so the room was filled. At the day of Pentecost, there was still 120 of them together, and that was 50 days later. So there was a house full of people, and Jesus was making a speech, and he was holding up the cup and saying, this is my blood of the New Testament that's shed for you. Drink. All of you drink it. And then he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body that is broken from you. Take and all of you eat it. And as often as you do this, you show the Lord's death till he comes. And then they sang a hymn, and Jesus and his acquaintances sang and began the parade. And the parade led out of the upper room, and the parade led through the city of Jerusalem and to the eastern gate and down across the Kedron Valley, and they entered a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane, a garden of olive trees and a wine press or olive press in the middle of it, a great place to be. And Jesus had gone to pray in the darkness of the night. We used to sing a hymn years ago, "Neath the old olive tree went the Savior alone on his knee." And Jesus went there and prayed the most agonizing prayer probably ever prayed by a human being. Prayed till his sweat became as great drops of blood. Took three spells of praying and asking the Heavenly Father, is there any way that this cup could pass from me that I will not have to drink it? And three times he got the same answer, there's no other way. There's no other way. And Jesus finally submits himself totally and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the parade continued, because as they left the garden, they were met by an armed guard. And there's nothing to make a parade more appealing than a military presence in it, and soldiers marching and weapons being displayed. And so the parade continues. And they come to Jesus, and the infamous Judas comes and kisses him on the cheek and identifies him. And as they grab him and take him away, Peter, in a spurt of energy, cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. And even in the midst of that, Jesus picks it up and restores it. Boy, I tell you, I wouldn't have arrested the man that just restored my ear. I wouldn't have arrested the man that I just saw pick an ear up off of the ground and put it back on somebody's head and heal it, I think I would just be very respectful and maybe even stand back from that person. And yet they took him, and they took him to the parade continued to the house of the high priest. It continued to the house of Herod, the king. It continued to the house of Pilate, Pilate to Herod and back to Pilate. And in the midst of all of this, he was abused. They beat him with sticks and rods. They pulled his beard from his face. They put his robes off of him and put a gorgeous robe on him and put a reed in his hand and bowed down to him and made fun of him. They platted a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. And the parade continued as they went to Pilate's judgment hall. And Pilate stood before him and declared to the world, "I find no fault in this man." And yet, my friends, they still wanted him crucified. And Pilate, trying to get rid of them in any way he could, offered the most infamous criminal that he had, Barabbas, in place of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the crowd chose not Jesus, but the crowd chose Barabbas. And he said, "What must I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" By the way, that's a question that may settle in every heart here and in the world. What must I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? And the crowd cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And in a matter of political expediency, in order that he would be politically correct and not out of sorts with the Jewish leaders, Pilate ordered the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified. They dragged him, an innocent man, whom Pilate declared to be innocent, whom Herod could find no fault in, to kill him. This innocent man was dragged from the streets, and having been beat with a cat of nine tails, the flesh ripped from his back and blood spilling down, Mel Gibson could not depict it bad enough. It was so horrible. And he was so weak from all that he had endured that he could not carry the cross. And a man from Africa was brought up to carry the cross for him. And through the street, it's called the Via Dolorosa, the Way of Tears, through the streets of Jerusalem. You see, when somebody was going to be crucified, they put on a placard the crime they were guilty of and carried it through the streets. It literally was a parade every time there was an execution. And they carried it through the streets, and the people followed them, the prisoner followed, and the placard said what he was guilty of. Pilate wrote it down, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." That was his crime. That was what he was guilty of being the king of his people. And they led him through the streets, bleeding and torn. Women stood on the sides of the streets and wept, and he spoke to them and comforted them and talked to them. And finally they arrived at the place called Golgotha, or Calvary, the place of the skull. And there, having already crucified two malefactors, there was a hole in the ground for the cross to set in the middle of the two malefactors. And in that place they placed the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, having nailed his hands and his feet to the cross and tied him there, having lifted him up as the horror of the pain and the suffocation and all the things that he was going through happened. And in that moment they heard him pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They heard him talk to his heavenly Father. They heard him say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" They heard all these things, and the people stood as if they were at a Christmas parade, or if they were at a 4th of July parade, or if they were at a Memorial Day parade. The people stood and watched the soldiers. The people stood and watched the spectacle. It's always been amazing to me in countries that have public executions how many people of the public will go just to watch somebody be killed and die. And yet they do that consistently, and used to even around here do it in the courthouse lawn in Parisburg. It's been done more than one time over there. And yet the people came and they listened and they watched, and all these things that happened. The parade stopped at the top of the mountain, and the people stood by. And the soldier who was there is just possibly the first convert of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died, because that centurion stood there, having seen 3 hours of darkness, having seen an earthquake shake the bottom of the cross and break open the rocks on Calvary's hill and split the veil in the great temple in Jerusalem. Having seen all of these things happen, the centurion said, this was a righteous man. This was the Son of God. This was an innocent man. He did not have to die for this. This man confessed the Lord Jesus Christ to be an innocent person. He saw one of the malefactors that had cursed him only a few minutes before suddenly turn his heart and ask Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. He saw the words of Jesus and the face of Jesus as he turned to the thief and said to him, this day thou shalt meet with me in paradise. Oh, my friend, what a sight it must have been to have seen all of that. What a parade went on that day. You talk about an Easter parade. They were having one, and the soldier was totally overcome by it. His relatives, his acquaintances, his friends stood afar off and watched while all these things happened in dismay and in tears and wondering how it was going to go and how did it come to this and what was going on. And all the people of Jerusalem, all the people of Israel were watching, and they turned around having seen these things and they walked away beating their chest. And you know what they were saying? That's a shame. You know, that's a shame. That's sad what they just did to that man. That's a terrible thing they just did. Let me ask you something. You're standing by today as Jesus has hung upon the cross. You're standing by today as all these things have happened. Where do you stand in this crowd? Are you one of the acquaintances that just stands by and weeps because it's a sad thing? Maybe you're just one of the curious public who stands by and beats his chest because he said, that's a terrible thing they did. Wonder why they would do that. It's an awful thing. Or maybe you're one of the, like the soldier, who looks at Jesus and sees in him the Son of God and sees in him the hope that mankind can have. Well, it didn't look like it was coming to anything. You know what day this is besides Easter, don't you? It's April Fool's Day. I think it's wonderful that it came on Easter. You know why? Because somebody got fooled. Somebody got fooled on the first Easter. As the parade continued, Jesus' limp body was taken down from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and others carried it to the tomb and placed it on a shelf in the tomb and wrapped it in linen and put spices in it and rolled a great stone before it and sealed it and put soldiers around. And the wonderful thing was, he laid there that night and the next day, and he laid there that night and the next day, and he laid there that night and the next day. And then came Sunday morning. Then came the morning. Then came that wonderful time that we call Easter. And you know, my friends, it was so sad that Satan thought he had won the victory. Satan was sure that he had won the victory. But he got fooled, didn't he? You see, my friend, that body lay there, but he didn't understand what was going on because the Spirit of Jesus had gone down into hell and had preached to the souls that were in prison. And when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, he did not come out alone. My friend, graves were opened up all over Jerusalem, and people got up out of their graves and walked around Jerusalem. I'm talking about people who had recently died that they knew were walking around alive in Jerusalem because they had been resurrected when the power of God came from heaven and resurrected the Lord Jesus Christ. Bodies all over Jerusalem came to life and walked around again. And when Jesus ascended from this earth, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Daniel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and spirits of just men made perfect came out of the grave not in new bodies, but came out of the grave, the spirits, and went home with Jesus. And when Jesus entered into heaven, he entered in with a sheaf offering to God of the redeemed of the Lord who had faith in him, even in the Old Testament times. My brothers and sisters, the Easter parade had arrived at its destination. The Lord Jesus Christ came out of that grave, and you say, and they rolled the stone away. Yes, but not to let him out. He didn't need anybody to let him out. He had a new and a glorified body. He could appear anywhere he wanted to and disappear anytime he wanted to. He could eat or not eat. He could be touched or not be touched. He was both physical and spiritual. And they said, wow, you mean Jesus is alive? Mary came and saw that the tomb was empty early in the morning. She ran and saw Jesus on the way. She came and told Peter and John and the others, and they thought she had gone mad. They just thought something was crazy with her. And they ran to this tomb, and because John was younger than Peter, he got ahead of him, and he ran and he looked in, and they discovered that the tomb was empty. The clothes were laid there. He had not ruffled them. He was wrapped in linen cloths all around. But they were all laying there because his new body, his glorified body, that you're going to have one like it, saints, had disappeared out of there and walked out of that tomb by himself. Mary saw him in the garden. The other women saw him. Peter saw him. James saw him. The people going to Emmaus saw him. 500 brethren at once saw him. And the parade continued until they got to the top of the Mount of Olives for the last time. And it stuck off into heaven, and the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected and glorified, ascended into heaven. My friend, I cannot imagine the day when Christ entered into glory. I cannot imagine what it must have been like in heaven when all of the angels, the seraphim and the cherubim, and all of the mighty ones of heaven look out and walking across the Milky Way. And by the constellation Orion, the Lord Jesus Christ walks through the door of heaven and leaves it open. Say, how do you know he left it open? I read the last book in the Bible. And when John went into the Spirit on the Isle of Patmos on Sunday that day, he was carried up to heaven. And the first thing he noticed was that the door of heaven was open. You see, Jesus had opened the door of hell and set the captives free. And Jesus opened the door of heaven and invited us to come in. And he has invited anyone who will to come in. So with Christians all over the world today, we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that because he lives, we also can live. We celebrate his life, and it becomes our life. I love this old hymn, "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting for the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." Would you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
My friend, every week we gather on the Lord's Day, Sunday. You say, why do you gather on Sunday? Why don't you gather on another day of the week? Because this is the Lord's Day. This is the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say at Easter? Oh, yes, at Easter. But we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every week. Every Lord's Day we gather. And Christians all over the world gather on the Lord's Day and we celebrate the life that has come through him. Jesus is alive. Jesus is forevermore alive. And Jesus is coming back again to receive us unto himself. My friends, I ask you today, as this parade goes before you, will you be like the centurion? Will you be able to see the glory and the innocence of Christ and be able to accept Him as your Lord and Savior? Or will you be just standing by like the acquaintances, sad that it happened? Or maybe even worse, like the crowd. Terrible thing they did up there. Terrible thing they did. But they go home without the Lord. My friend, if you're here today, or if you're listening to us by radio or by transcription, and you feel the call of God on your life, would you listen to Him? Would you understand that Jesus did not go up there and do this so that they could have a fashion show on Fifth Avenue in New York? Jesus did this because men were lost and undone without God. Men were unsaved. Men were on their way to hell, women, boys, and girls. And Jesus, because God loved us so much, came to this earth, lived and died for us, and rose again the third day, so that you and old Eddie Kendall and every other sinner on earth could live and not die. Would you receive Him in your heart today? Would you receive Him into your soul? Would you not just be a gawker at the parade that's going by, but would you be a participant in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and give your heart and life to Him? Let's sing, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, among all the blessings You've given us, the most wonderful one is the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray today that Your Spirit will make the reality of the living Christ real in our lives. Father, will You open our hearts today to receive the resurrected Christ, to receive the Spirit that brought Jesus from the dead, that will one day quicken our own mortal bodies. Father, I pray that every heart here today will be touched by the Spirit of God, and every soul here today will be touched with the blessings of God. Anoint us with Thy presence and touch us with Thy grace and cover us with Your glory. And Father, we'll not fail to praise You in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you